Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'd like you to join me in going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning for our first scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you watch the news, you'll find out maybe what has happened, and you'll find out some opinions about what's going to happen. But if you look in the Word of God, you'll find out what is going to happen. So we're going to look at what is going to happen this morning. And how far off it is, I don't know. When the scripture says a day with the Lord is like what? 1,000 years. Then time to God is a whole different thing than time is to us. And so when we see in the Word of God that Jesus is coming soon, and we look at that and go, soon, okay, a couple thousand years have gone by. But one thing we know for sure is that soon is much sooner than it was yesterday. And for some of us, it might be today. We've had a powerful list of heroes of faith that have been a part of our family over the years, and a lot of them are with the Lord today. And so when we look at the Word of God, we realize that when God takes us home, then we're home. But I want you to understand that's not the end of the story. When my friend had a question, he said, how do you know that heaven is for real? And shared with him my faith, and Richard said, well, I'll know 30 seconds after I'm dead if heaven is for real. I said, Richard, it's too late. 30 seconds after you're dead is too late. You need to know God is real while you're living here. Then you're ready to go to meet God. And I pray he did. I prayed with him the sinner's prayer. Many others did as well. But only God really knows the condition of somebody's heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look with me at the Word of God this morning. Verse 1. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all of this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord, let's say it, the day of the Lord. We're going to be talking about the day of the Lord this morning. For you know quite well. Yeah, I trust we all know quite well. I hope that's a statement for all of us. You know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Now, verse 3, I want you to take note of what it says. When is the day of the Lord coming? How is it going to be unexpected? Why is it going to be unexpected? And what will the newspapers be saying at that time? What will the people be saying? When the people are saying, all is well, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born, and there will be no escape. I trust that that does not come across to you as something new or alarming or scary, because we're not in the dark, and we're not those who are not aware of the times and the seasons that we live in. But it is important that we look at this, because at least in my lifetime, we now have a president and some leadership that I believe for the first time in my lifetime is actually able to talk peace to the whole nations. This is very unusual. And the Word of God talks about wars and rumors of wars, and all of these are part of the signs of the end time. Israel being restored to their land, the Jewish people returning home, the great ingathering. All of these are signs of the returning of the Lord. But this is significant, that in the midst of the wars and the rumors of wars and all of the earthquakes and all the cataclysmic things happening all around the world, there is going to be, during the tribulation period, there's going to be a man raised up that will call upon the nations to come to peace. And again, I'm glad that we have a president that is allowing prayer, encouraging prayer. I'm glad the United States of America at this time is supportive of Israel. I pray that we do not get involved in splintering the land, establishing additional states, because the nations that do that and fight against Israel will be under the curse of God. So right now we're under the blessing of God, and we can all say hallelujah. That is a wonderful thing. And I'm excited to hear about the hostages coming home. And so I want to show you in the Word of God what's coming. When it appears that there's going to be out of the wars, the rumors of wars, when it appears that it's possible for peace throughout the world, or a controlling factor of peace, the Word of God says that is the time when everything's going to blow apart. And that signals the timing, the season, when God is going to send His Son. The trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised up. So this morning, I want to take you from this passage, and I want to go to Matthew, and then we're going to go to Zechariah. So in Matthew chapter 24, we were there a little bit last week. We're just going to touch on a little more of that passage. Matthew chapter 24. And in this passage, we see signs of the end times. And I believe we probably started with verse 9 last week. I'm going to start a little earlier in this chapter this morning. Verse 3, Matthew chapter 24. Later, Jesus sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to Him privately. They asked, "When will this take place?" Well, they had been so impressed with the temple. It was a majestic place. And they were wanting to talk to Jesus about that. But Jesus had already said, "Do you see all these buildings up in verse 2? I assure you that they will be completely demolished. Not one stone left on another." That seemed impossible. Seemed as though it would never come. But it did come. It came in AD 70. So the disciples were asking, when is all this going to happen? And will there be any sign ahead of time to signal your return and the end of the world? So last Sunday we were talking about the end is coming. But the end is not the end. It's going to be the end for the enemy and a lot of his shenanigans. It's going to be the end for a lot of demonic activity. It's going to be the end for a lot of evil on the world, because God's going to step in and there's going to end up being a major world cleaning. You know about house cleaning. There's going to be a major world cleaning. And the Messiah is going to establish His kingdom. We're going to see that. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. So you're going to want to take some notes today, or underline if you have your Bible with you, or you have electronic means to do that, to put some things into perspective. And so Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in My name saying, 'I'm the Messiah.' They will lead many astray." So this is a falling away. "And there will be wars. Wars will break out near and far, but don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. The nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. And there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." And we could actually document a lot of that this morning, and you can do that very easily just by doing a search online, because they are increasing. And even in our nation, with the storms, the floods, and the earthquakes, and the fires, and the epidemics, and all these things, we've had many, many reporters say it's never been like this before, and that's happened in many states. But all of this, verse 8, will only be the beginning of the horrors to come. "Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed." And I've said this over the last few weeks, I do believe with Charlie Kirk's death, that we have crossed as a nation to a new prophetic low. I believe we have come to a new level of persecution. This is not the end. Thank God there's a lot of resistance. But if you notice that there's cities with fires burning, there's cities with people marching in the street, there's anarchy in many places, there's strongholds of the enemy in the United States of America. Thank God that we have the leadership in Washington we have. But we need to recognize that Satan has not gone on vacation. The battle's not over. And you're going to see this morning that no man can broker peace on this earth. Only Jesus can do that. We cannot make that happen. "Then you will be arrested." It's talking about all these things. "Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to Me. And many will turn away from Me and betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and lead many people astray." Many false prophets. I'm not going to pick on any prophets this morning, but let me just say that you need to know the written Word of God and make sure that you're not looking for guidance and direction from man. Look into the Word of God for your direction, and if the prophets confirm the Word of God, amen. But one of the major signs of the last days is that there will be deception because of prophetic voices that will lead many astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold. But those who endure to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then finally, the end will come. Now, the time will come when you see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration, standing in the holy place. The holy place is a part of the temple, isn't it? We don't have a temple yet. But let me tell you, the Jewish nation is ready to build their temple. They've been ready for a lot of years. They have the plans, they have the materials, and they are ready to move quickly. And I will not be surprised to see construction start very soon on it. They're ready for sacrifices to begin again. They're prepared. They have the red heifers. They have the instruments. They have the trumpets. They have the menorah. They have the priest garments. They have the right colors. They have everything put together. They are just waiting for the political season to allow them to move ahead with construction. And it will happen very quickly. So the prophets of the Word of God speak about these days. We're going to look into some of that this morning. Look at verse 22. In fact, unless the time of calamity is shortened. What calamity? Well, it talks about this period of time of great upheaval, where there's going to be terrific war that's going to take place. And there's going to be a lot of people that lose their lives. There's going to be a lot of chaos in Israel, in the land. And 22 says that unless the time of calamity is shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed. However, it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen one. Now, this passage is obviously a passage that we as the church can read and should understand, Jews and Gentiles, but it is certainly a passage for the Jewish nation to understand the calamity that is yet coming. Now, with prophecy, the prophets often saw the peaks of mountains, so there were things in the valleys that they didn't necessarily see all of, but they would see the high points. We're actually living to see many of these things take place in our lifetime, which is amazing. And then look at verse 23. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't pay any attention. There's going to be false messiahs. For false messiahs and false prophets, here it is again in the same passage with warning, they will rise up and they're going to perform great miraculous signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. So again, it's going to be important that we're not looking to men to guide us. We need to be looking at the Word of God and being led by the Holy Spirit, because this season is coming. It's coming. I've warned you. See, I've warned you. And I want you to take note of these next couple scriptures, because this ties in with where we're going to go as we move on this morning. If someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. In other words, don't try to go check everything out for yourself to figure out if that's the Messiah. You don't have to do that. Don't get worried. Don't get caught up in trying to investigate. Maybe this is God. Maybe we should all be running over here. We should be running over there. And let me tell you, the body of Christ has some problems with running. And if there's a new show on the road and there's something new in town, the body of Christ is known to all run over there, and then they flock and run over here, and then they run over there. And I've had people tell me, well, I'm just following the cloud. I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where it instructs us to follow a cloud. Israel did. If there's a cloud moving, I pray the cloud's behind you. If there are signs and wonders happening, I pray that it's in your life, that it's through your life, that it is through the testimony of Jesus Christ. But this is going to take place, and a lot of people will chase here and there. He's hiding here. Don't believe it. The Word of God is warning us that in the last days, these are things that will happen. But look at verse 27. For as the lightning lights up what? As the lightning lights up the entire sky, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. In other words, when Jesus comes, there's not going to be any question about His coming. Now, we're talking about the second coming here. When Jesus comes, His coming is going to be so majestic, it's going to be so visible, it's going to be so outstanding, it is going to be so shocking, it is going to be globally recognized, And the world's going to have their own stories to say what has happened to the raptured church earlier. They're going to have a lot of lies out there. But the coming of Christ is not going to be something in secret. He's not going to be coming in on the colt of a donkey this time. This time when he comes, he's going to come in his glory, his power, his majesty, and he's going to come to whoop up on the enemy. And I'll tell you who wins. God wins. God wins. So this is going to take place. This is very important. You can look at the other passages of Scripture, and you'll see contextually this same truth is borne out. For time, we're not going to go to those passages. Now I want you to go with me to Zechariah. Zechariah, we're going to go to chapter 14 to start. It may seem like we're almost going in reverse a little bit this morning, but that's all right because we're looking at things that have not yet happened, but they are soon to come. So I want to point out a scripture. We'll come back to the context of it as we move through the scriptures this morning, but I want you to look at verse 3. It says, "Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he has fought in times past." Now, when you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out when Israel was right with God that God protected them, God fought for them, God delivered them. It was supernatural, and no one could stand against them. I mean, some have looked at that one angel that took, I think, 186,000 or something lives in one night and said, well, now we know how many one angel can take care of. No, that was just how many he was allowed to take care of that night. That was not the ability of one angel. The point is that God, throughout history with Israel, has miraculously shown up. 7-day war, there's books about the miracles that took place. But the day's coming when God is going to act like he has in the past. And the Word of God tells us that it's coming. On that day, look at verse 4. When everybody look at verse 4. And I want you to ask yourself, have I read any other scripture that sounds like this one? On that day, which day? The day when God goes out to fight against the nations, as he has fought in the past. On that day, it's going to be a day, it's going to be the day of the Lord. On that day, his feet will stand where? On the Mount of Olives. Huh. Where's the Mount of Olives? Say Israel. Where's the Mount of Olives? Say it is east of Jerusalem. Have you heard this same scripture somewhere else? On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from the east to the west, for half the mountain will move toward the north, half will move toward the south. Then it talks how Israel will flee during this great time of affliction as this tremendous earthquake creates this valley that runs north and south, and we see that it's cutting right through the mountain. You will flee across this valley. It will reach across to Azel. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah. All right, don't lose that passage. We're going to come back to that. But I want to take you to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Keep a finger over there. We want to be able to compare these scriptures. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to read about the ascension of Jesus. And so it begins in verse 1. In my first book, I told you about everything Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he did what? Ascended. So when we say ascension, what does it mean? He's caught up into the heavens, right? So I told you about everything until the day he ascended to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit. So after his death and his resurrection during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Is that important? It's really important, isn't it? Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there's no hope that we will rise from the dead. But since he has, we know that we too shall rise from the dead. On these occasions, he's providing absolute, undeniable proof that he is alive. On these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, in one of these meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, he told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised." Remember, I've told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I know some churches don't talk much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus talked about it, and Jesus said that this is going to happen to all of you who are part of my family. This is the will of God. So in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom? Now, you remember in Matthew, they were asking him when he said, all these stones are going to be broken apart. All this is going to be leveled. And they said, when is this going to happen? We want to know. Well, here they are. Jesus has died. He's rose from the grave. And what are they asking him? Are you going to establish your kingdom then, Lord? When is this going to happen? And what does Jesus say in verse 7? The Father sets those dates. They're not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was not long after he said this that what happened? He ascended. This is the ascension. Here it is. He was taken up into the sky while they were watching. They're standing there watching. He's being taken up into the sky, and they watch him like we would watch a rocket ship. Many of you have probably watched some space launches from your front yard, maybe from the street in front of your house. I've been doing that since I was a kid. And sometimes at school, we would all get out of class for an hour or 30 minutes or whatever. Oh, we're listening to the radio. It's time for the rocket to go up, and we would see the tail of the fire and the explosion as it dropped some of its capsules and moved on through the sky. And we would stand there watching until it disappeared. And now we have television and we have planes that are chasing and filming and watching. And we can see the rockets as they advance into the heavens. The disciples didn't have any planes to follow. They're just standing there. These are simple fishermen. They'd never seen anything like this in their whole life. They are shocked. They're watching. And they're watching until he disappears into the cloud. As they were straining their eyes to see him, two white-robed men suddenly stood there among them. The angel showed up. Where were they the whole time? You think they were in the bush? Or do you think they were right there with him? They just had not manifested yet. I believe they were right there with them the whole time. But suddenly, there they are, they're standing there among them, and they say something to the men that I want you to take note of. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus, this same Jesus, the King James says, I like that. This same Jesus that has been taken away from you into heaven will someday, and someday, just as you saw him go, he's going to what? He's going to return. This is called the second coming. This is not the rapture. The rapture is when the church is caught away. This is called the second coming. Just as you saw him taken away, someday he will return. All right. Now, from the Mount of Olives, he ascended. Messiah, Yeshua, ascended into the heavens. Back to the Mount of Olives, Jesus will descend, and Zechariah is given the message hundreds of years before this took place. And here it was, we just read it, where his feet, verse 4, Zechariah 14, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Now, let's go back to chapter 9 of Zechariah. In chapter 9, we were looking at this last Sunday a little bit, and taking note of the fact that the day is going to come, verse 6, when foreigners will occupy, this is Zechariah 9, verse 6, foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. Thus I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. They will no longer eat meat with blood in it or feed on other forbidden foods. And all the surviving, say surviving, because I was just chatting with someone and they were saying, well, you know, it's kind of evident that some of the nations are not going to be destroyed because, you know, they show back up and that all of them do not deny or fight against God. Actually, there will be some survivors from the nations that will honor and worship God during the millennial period. There will be many that will be saved from those nations that turn. But the fact that all nations on earth are going to turn against the righteous and the Messiah is in the Word of God. We will see this. But this talks about the day when the surviving Philistines will worship our God. Whose God? Say Israel's. Israel's God. Are they worshiping Israel's God this morning? No. Now, there are some that do. There are born-again Arabs. There are born-again Christians that are in the Gaza area, and some of them refused to leave. They said, we're going to stay here as missionaries. Even if we lose our life during the war, we're going to stay here and minister to the Palestinian there in Gaza. So there are some that are there believing. But the day is going to come that the surviving Philistines, those that are left, will worship our God and be adopted as a new clan in Judah. That's coming. We mentioned that last week. Now that tells us a little bit about what's going to happen with the coming of Christ during the tribulation. How many of you heard about the tribulation? Last 3.5 years are really bad. It gets really bad on the planet. But think about that. 3.5 years. Not a long period of time. God's going to bring things into order. But there will be surviving Philistines. They will worship God. They will be adopted as a new clan. And if you look down to verse 9, rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. Now, this is going to jump and look at the prophetic promise of Yeshua's first coming, while it's also going to be talking about his second coming. Sounds a little confusing to put it all together, but look at this. The prophets are seeing the Messiah is coming. I'm sure they didn't understand what we're able to understand this morning, because he had not yet come humbly riding on a donkey. But he would, he did, and all history bears it out. There's no question of that. It says, even on a donkey's colt. And when you read in the New Testament, you see that that's exactly what happened. There is the donkey and the colt that Jesus is on, never been ridden. And so it says, and this is really important, you may not write in your Bible, then write it down in your brain somewhere. And I have in my Bible, it says, coming peace, coming peace. Peace is coming. But look into the Word of God to find out how it's actually going to come. You'll be ahead of the news media, regardless of the negotiations that's going on right now. You'll know where peace is going to come from. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. And I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Are we there yet? Nope. Are there any weapons in battle being used today? Yep. Hasn't happened yet. But peace is coming. Your king. Who is Israel's king? Jesus. Who's your king? Jesus. Who's my king? Jesus. Our king will bring peace to the nations. Not going to have peace until he brings peace. We may have peace negotiations. We may have temporary peace. But remember what we started with this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5, that when everybody's saying, hey, we have global peace, the church needs to be awake and aware that God said that's the time when all of your peace treaties are going to fall apart, and that's the time when something else is going to happen. God's going to present himself in such a way that Israel will be convinced that Yeshua is their Messiah.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy word is a lamb, the fresh word of God, children of God.
Thy word is a lamb.